Hello and welcome to the Business of InfoSec podcast with me, Michelle Ribeiro. In this podcast, we chat to senior information and cybersecurity executives from a range of industries about their passions, experiences, and challenges. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Today, it's all about the challenges cybersecurity executives face when reporting risks to the board and some ideas on how to overcome them. Joining this discussion with me is Graeme Payne, who is the US practice lead for the strategy, risk, and compliance from Kodelsky Security. Hi, Graeme. How are you today?
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks.
So for those of you who don't know Graeme, he started his career as an auditor working for the Big Four firm. Information security wasn't a big thing then. His clients used mainframe computers and green screens. As distributed computing started to evolve, he was keenly interested in seeing how technology was changing business. He then started to focus on auditing the intersection of technology and business function. In the 90s, when he moved to the US, the internet and e-commerce was changing everything. That's when he was asked to start building an information security consulting team in one of the US regions for Ernst & Young. And he has been immersed in the field ever since. He left Ernst & Young after 20 years and joined Wipro Consulting as a global practice leader for GRC. In 2011, he started at Equifax as Vice President of IT Risk and Compliance. And later, he was promoted to Senior Vice President and CIO of Corporate Platforms. And in 2017, Equifax faced one of the largest data breaches in history. Graeme, how was that? Would you like to share a little bit of that experience with us today?
Well, yes, Michelle, that was definitely a defining moment in my career. I was one of the first people to know about the breach because the system that was breached was one that was under my leadership. And then for the next 6 to 8 weeks was just a crazy time preparing for the announcement of the breach and getting ourselves organized to announce to the world that, you know, 147 million Americans' data had been breached. So it was a tremendous amount of activity that I was right in the middle of, and then resulted in my actual termination from the company and being blamed as being the part of the cause of the breach, which is another whole story. But I ended up writing a book about that. But you know it was definitely probably not a high point, but certainly a defining moment in my career.
Yeah, for sure. It was a massive journey, I would say. And I was going to ask you about your book, because you wrote your book with, you know, some experiences, some lessons you learned, and some advice for anyone who is in a situation like that. Can you tell us a little bit about your book and how we can find it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so the book's called The New Era of Cybersecurity Breaches. And it's really based on a lot of the experience that I had living through that massive breach at Equifax. I talk a little bit about how we're kind of living in this new era of cybersecurity breaches, which really kind of started in 2005, and it just continues to, you know, every day we read in the newspaper about a new breach and a new issue. So it really talks a lot about that, and then about some of the advice that I have for companies and security leaders to help build out their security programs, get the appropriate sponsorship from their boards and their senior management teams, and, you know, continually evolve their programs. And the book's available on Amazon. So certainly go there and get a copy of the book, and it's available in audio, in Kindle version and paperback.
Yeah, thank you. I'll definitely get my copy straight away. So if Graeme is not working, he's having fun with his two sons, hiking, canyoning, camping, and climbing. That's very nice. You are a very cool dad, Graeme. So how is that for your children, for your sons? How do they like these adventures?
Oh, we've had some great adventures, Michelle. I mean, both of them are teenagers now, but, you know, we started off as Cub Scouts, and we've kind of worked our way through, and it's just been a tremendous experience. You know, we've been to world jamborees and met people from all around the world. We've done all these great sort of outdoor adventures, as you said, like hiking and camping and whitewater rafting. And it's just, it's a great time to do that with your kids, and, you know, get to appreciate the outdoors and to see how the programs like that help develop them to be better citizens and better people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very nice to be in nature and appreciate that. So you are also on the executive board of the Atlanta Area Council for the Boy Scouts of America and responsible for overseeing the program delivery to 13,000 scouts and 6,000 adults leaders. That's also incredible. I'm curious, is that a big job for you?
Well, it's a volunteer job, but it's almost like having a second job, Michelle. I mean, we do a lot of great things. We deliver a lot of great programs to the units and the kids in our scouting program. And you know, what motivates me is seeing the look on the faces of those kids when they, you know, have gone through some camping weekend or some adventure that we've put on, and the excitement and that look on their face. And that's what motivates me, and that's why, you know, I've spent so much time, put so much into this program and this great organization.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a nice motivation, and I'm sure that's where you get rid of all this stress from day-to-day life.
Right, absolutely. You need some of that sometimes, especially in our field.
Yes, absolutely. So now let's jump straight into the conversation that we are having today on reporting risks to the board. And my first question to you, Graeme, is can you tell us a little bit about your experiences with reporting risks to the board?
Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned my background at Equifax. You know, prior to that, I was in consulting and worked and both prior to Equifax and since then, I've spent a lot of time working with CISOs and security leaders and boards, in fact, and helping them, you know, really understand risks and helping the security leaders and helping to hone their message around risk and their security programs. But specifically, while I was at Equifax for the 6 years I was there, I was regularly updating the board and some of the subcommittees of the board on both cybersecurity and other IT risk as part of our regular reporting process. I'd also say that, you know, I'm also involved in an organization called the Digital Directors Network, which I'm kind of really excited about. It's an organization focused on helping prepare technology executives to get onto boards. And I went through their program and am a certified technology executive. And one of the things we need on boards is more technology savvy executives. So a program like that has been really, I've been very much involved in that as well. So that's a little bit about my experience in working with boards.
And I'm also interested to hear your thoughts on how do you think the CISO role is changing and how it's blending into the CIO role?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because if you think about it, the CIO and the CISO, or Chief Security Officer, CSO role, are really quite recent inventions, if you like, in the modern business organization. I mean, when I started my career, that we didn't have CIOs, let alone CISOs. So, you know, it's relatively a relatively new invention. But and I think, you know, we've gone through a lot of learnings and changes over the last, you know, several decades as those roles have kind of got embedded into organizations. I think that, you know, early on, I think both CIOs and CISOs were challenged to get a seat at the table. But I think if we look at, you know, as more organizations become more and more reliant on technology, I think, you know, most organizations that I work with now, the CIO is definitely seen as a part of the strategic, you know, leadership team, the senior leadership team, most reporting directly to the CEO. And the CISO role is probably maybe a decade behind where the CIOs are. So I think the CISO and the CSO roles are definitely evolving. I see that, in fact, many of them are starting to move outside of IT. And so I think, you know, we're seeing this evolution of the security officer as being chief security officer, chief information security officers, moving more towards kind of being a risk manager and risk facilitator than necessarily a manager or technology, you know, security operations person. So I think that's the trend that I'm seeing. And you know, it's evidenced by the fact that, you know, many CISOs now have kind of moved out under the wing of the CIO and reporting up through other structures in the organization.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that obviously creates the challenge of reporting risks to the board, what we are talking about here today. In your opinion, what are the biggest challenges you faced when you were reporting risks to the board?
So I guess three things come to mind. The first is, I'd say, reducing complexity. So, cybersecurity and, technology-related areas like that are often laden with terms and jargon. And so often you're dealing with board members that that don't have a background in technology or cybersecurity. So being able to reduce the complexity and get your message across would be one, I think, significant challenge. The second one I'd say is the ability to communicate impact and really relate a security threat or risk to a business impact. And so that's, I kind of put that into that bucket. And then the third area I would say is what I call maintaining proportional perspective. So what I mean by that is, when you're trying to communicate these risks to the board, you're very passionate and an advocate for your security program and your security objectives and making sure the board understand the risks. But you also have to understand that this is one of many risks that an organization faces, be it competitive, strategic, financial, operational, whatever. So you need to, while your stuff's important, it may not be the most important at a given point in time. So just maintaining that kind of proportional perspective on risk. The good thing is that, but any study you look at today pretty much says that cybersecurity is one of the, one to five top risks that most boards are now talking about. So it is now a topic that they want to engage in. But that'd be some of the challenges, I think, that I've seen in my working with boards.
What are the biggest challenges CISOs face when reporting risks to the board?
Yeah, so there's, I think, first one is the recognition that you're dealing with this range of experience on in the board, right? So people have come from different backgrounds, maybe not even in your industry, but they've been brought onto the board because they have an expert as they've been, former CEOs or CFOs or served other senior management roles. Maybe they've been investors or whatever. You're dealing with this range of experience. And, I've been in board meetings where, we've had to get that start off and explain some very basic terminology, where in other meetings where the board's very savvy and kind of gets it very quickly. So that's, I think that's one of the challenges there. I think next one I say is kind of developing that story. As I said, there's a lot that you could potentially communicate to the board. So really kind of honing that message and building that story about what's the most important and really having that clear message and linking the risks to the business. And then I think the third challenge that I would mention is managing expectations. So a lot of the board, our boards are going to ask some very obvious and simple questions, but they're not easy to answer. Like, are we secure? How do we know we've been breached? Do we have a good response process? How do we compare with others in the industry? Could this happen to us? These are the types of questions that are on the mind of the board. And you've got to recognize that they're going to ask these questions. You've got to be able to formulate a response.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that leads us to my next question, which is how can a CISO overcome these challenges?
Yeah. So building off what I just talked about, I think it's really important that you set expectations in your early dialogues with the board. So I think, making it clear there's no such thing as perfect security. And that, you've got to take a risk-based approach, and there's going to be risk, there's going to be this residual risk. There's always going to be the possibility that you could be, that something could go wrong, some control may fail, you may be breached, you may be subject to ransomware. And really what you're trying to do is to put the best protections in place that you can, but also recognize that you're going to be watching and observing and monitoring. And when something untoward happens, you've got the capability to quickly react and respond and then if necessary, recover from that situation to get back into business, into normal business operations. I think it's really important that the that a CISO not only set those expectations, but also work on educating the board and using the time that you have available with them to help kind of bring up their knowledge of cybersecurity as well. There's some really good material that the National Association of Corporate Directors have put together on communicating risks to the board. And I'd really encourage security leaders to read that material and even share that material with the board members, because it does, it talks a lot about these five key principles and how you build that communication mechanism, the sort of things that the board should be asking you. Because that's the other thing that's really important. They should know the questions that they should be asking you as well. So some of that material that the National Association of Corporate Directors have put out is really valuable. I think it's really important for a CISO to communicate a journey, a story, as I said, you know, to tell the story that we're, you know, security, you're never done with security. You're always on a journey. So, you know, you use storytelling to describe the journey you're on, how your program's maturing, you know, use analogies, provide examples. A good example here is, maybe you talk about a ransomware attack and how the controls that you've put in place help prevent, detect, and respond to a ransomware attack. Yeah, so I think that probably be some of the key things. I think the other thing I'd add is just, you know, make sure that you're showing the return on the security investments you're making. So you're demonstrating that for the money that's being invested by the management team and the board, that you know you're getting payoffs for those, that your security program's aligning and it's helping to enable the business to grow, expand, you know, meet its business objectives.
So what are your key recommendations to CISOs when they're communicating to the board and getting buy-in and investment for their projects?
Yeah, so I think when, in answering the previous question, Michelle, I kind of described a lot of that, but I would just, a couple of other things I'd add to that would be, you know, one of the things that a lot of CISOs are really experimenting with, and I'm really excited about, is this concept of risk quantification. So, you know, if we think about other areas of risk, you know, liquidity risk, credit risk, financial risk, you know, there's always we've always got numbers around them, and cyber has always been an area that a lot of people think, oh, it's hard to put metrics around it, hard to put hard numbers around it. But there's been a lot of great work done in this area. And, you know, I've been working with a bunch of organizations really working on building out their cyber risk quantification methodologies and approach, and some good tools out there that we can use today. So I think the great thing about that is now you can start to express risk in financial terms. You know, what's the potential loss? And then how can you make investments to minimize or reduce that loss? You're never going to get the loss potential to zero. But, you know, can you get it to an acceptable level where the board feels comfortable that that's a realistic option based on the risk appetite of the organization? So I'm very excited about some of the advances that are being made in risk quantification. And I think that is shows great opportunity for security leaders going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe risk quantification is such a massive topic that we should probably do a podcast on its own.
Right. Yeah, happy to do that.
Yeah, for sure. So my next question is, I'd be interested if you could share with us some do's and don'ts when engaging the board to build stronger security programs and mature their capabilities.
Yeah, I've got I actually wrote down a little list here. So if you don't mind, I'm going to sort of tick them off as I go. So first one I'd say is you've got to get to know your board. You need to understand their backgrounds, the other boards they serve on, because the better you understand them, the better you're going to be able to communicate with them. So that's number one. Number two would be, as you build your story, and it's all about telling a story, use visuals rather than text. I think, you know, pictures, they say picture paints 1,000 words, and it's true. So use a lot of visuals, but expect to talk about threats and risks and progress and priorities, but find ways that you can depict that information in a highly visual context. It's important that you show trends over time, because I think the boards are interested to know how we've improved or how we've reduced risk or how we've improved our controls. So that's important. I think it's important to have data to back up your recommendations. And often that data finds its way into the appendix of a board report. And a couple more, just prepare for the you should always prepare for possible questions and a dialogue. And in my experience, and from many of the discussions I have with other CISOs, the board actually is really good at pre-reading the material. So, you know, most organizations will send their board materials out for pre-read to the board before the meetings. So they will come, they will have read that material, they would have assimilated it, and they're ready to dialogue. So don't think that you're going to go in there and do this like 30-minute presentation. You will be lucky to get past your first couple of slides before they start dialoguing. And that's really what you want. That's a much more fruitful conversation. The last do I would say is, you know, as you prepare your board materials, get some feedback from your peers, others in the organization. You know, maybe it's internal audit, your risk peers, your CIO. It's some studies that we've done show that on average, CISOs are revising their presentation somewhere between 5 and 25 times before it goes to the board. So get that feedback and be prepared to go through and iterate through several times. So that's the do's. On the don'ts, it's a little bit of a shorter list, but I would say I would discourage you from using FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt to try and justify investments. I think you're much better at justifying investments based on alignment to business priorities and business objectives, and don't sort of rely on FUD. I would discourage you from using a lot of metrics. A few key metrics is important, again, showing trends, but don't sort of don't overburden your presentation with a lot of numbers and metrics. You kind of lose the message. Monitor the use of technical jargon. As I said, don't expect to get through all your slides. And also, I would say, don't be surprised if your time gets shortened. Often the board agendas are way too packed with information, with content, than there really is time available. And so, recognize that, you know, if you have a 30-minute slot, you may only get 15 to 20 minutes. So make sure you know what you want to say in that 15 to 20 minutes and make sure you get that stuff covered. Conversely, I've also seen situations where this discussion's gone longer. So, you know, that you might be the cause for someone else to be a session to be shortened. But anyway, that's some of the do's and don'ts.
Some valuable advice here. Thank you so much, Graham. With all the work you have done in this area, are there any themes you have seen in what is presented to the board?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few key themes and patterns that emerge from you know, the work that I've been doing with CISOs in developing these presentations. I think a few of them would be, I'd say, there's kind of a whole category around what I call situational analysis. So describing, you know, the risks, the emerging trends in the sector, the relevance of those to the particular company. You know, who are the threats? Why are they attacking us? What are they after? That type of thing. Another common topic area is around incidents. So reporting back on maybe incidents that have happened to your organization and how you've reacted to those and responded to those and how effective your controls have been to minimize the damage. Or it might be also incidents that happened elsewhere to a PF organization or somewhere else in the industry. And use that as an example to show how you would respond if that incident happened to you. Obviously, discussion of risks and threats, and particularly, you know, those unresolved risks and threats that are kind of concern is obviously another topic area. Frequently, I see CISOs talking about how their capabilities are maturing and showing some sort of capability maturity model to show how over time they're building additional capability in their security program. And then the last category I'd say is around just a general update on strategy, on the overall security strategy. You know, what are our key initiatives? How are they progressing? Are they ahead, behind? And sort of to show that, you know, you're continuing to make investments, again, aligned to the business in the right areas. The other area, one other thing that I've seen, which I really like is, often CISOs will pick a topic and do a deep dive in it. And, you know, I mentioned ransomware before. That's a good one. but very topical at the moment. But, you know, a deep dive both to kind of educate the board, but also to demonstrate how the investments that have been made in the security program are helping to address that particular risk. So that's some of the common themes that I see. You know, a study that Kadelski Security did with our CISO Advisory Council, this is kind of an interesting statistic. For every 30 minutes of presentation, the average amount of time that was spent on preparation was 40 to 85 hours. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, for that short time that you're in front of the board, you're probably spent, you know, several weeks of your time and maybe others' time in really honing that message and that delivery. So, so that's kind of interesting, I think, as well. So,
yeah, that's very interesting. We started our conversation talking about how the size of role is changing and will continue to change. Based on everything that's happening in the cyberspace right now, what do you think their roles will look like in the future?
Yeah, so as we opened up, you know, I talked about there's already been a lot of transformation in these roles over the last, you know, couple of decades. And I would continue to see these roles evolve, particularly the CISO role. I think that, as I said before, I think we're going to be moving to more of a risk management facilitator than necessarily a technology or controls focused manager. I think we will move to more aligned with the risk management organization and the business. And I, you know, a couple examples here. I mean, you just see, you know, many CISOs now are expanding into things like operational technology, product security, and even business resilience. And these areas take them way outside of technology, because these are areas that, you know, a traditional IT organization doesn't manage. So I think that we're going to continue to see that role evolve. And what that's going to mean for a CISO is they're going to need to spend much more time on relationship management, business, you know, building a relationship with those stakeholders, and also risk, understanding the risk and the risk profile of the organization, and then being able to communicate that to the senior leadership team and up to the board of directors.
What would you say is the biggest takeaway for our audience today?
Yeah, well, we've covered a lot of topic, Michelle. So there's a lot, probably, hopefully there's a few gems in there. But, you know, if I had to summarize it down, it's like three key points, I'd say. Firstly, that, you know, what cybersecurity is most likely in the top five risks of every board. So that's good. So they're going to want to engage on this topic. I think secondly, that CISO should carefully plan how they communicate with the board around cybersecurity risk. And, you know, they should get to know the board. They should set expectations. They should tell their story in business terms, using data, trends, and outcomes that support the story. And then they should be prepared for questions and expect dialogue. And then the third area, I'd say, is as the CISO role evolves, I expect that, you know, we're going to be more involved in risk management rather than technical security operations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Graham. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and your insights with us today. You've shared some valid points. So thanks for joining.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We hope you have enjoyed the Business of InfoSec podcast. Be sure to subscribe from whatever you're currently listening. Plus, if you are listening from Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. As always, you can find us and engage with us on social media, as well as on the Business of InfoSec website, where you can find this podcast, as well as other topical articles, reports, and videos. So, until next time, take care.